I would like to begin by acknowledging the traditional custodians of the land on which we meet today, the Arakwal people of the Bundjalung Nation, and pay my respects to the elders past, present, and emerging. Are you ready to win at the game of life? Well, throw out that rule book and get down to the business of being the best and most authentic version of you. Welcome to the Human Design Podcast. We're changing the rules around success, abundance, purpose, love, and life, where we're creating a planet where everyone can thrive in a world that loves and supports each other. I'm your host, Emma Dunwoody, a qualified master coach, human design expert, podcaster, and entrepreneur that is living the life of my dreams, breaking all the rules while doing it, making a huge impact, and living my design and manifesting miracles on the daily. Join me as I break down and simplify everything you need to live in alignment with your human design, teach you how to recondition your unconscious mind for greatness, and to take back your power so you can manifest your heaven on earth and serve the rest of the planet at the same time. It's time to give up the fear and step into your highest potential, to reach for the stars, to know and live your greatness. It's what you deserve, and it's what the planet really needs from you. So buckle up and enjoy the ride.
This is your monthly reminder to go to the show notes and check out the Body Graph Chart software. I know you've heard us talk about this before, so I'll keep this very short and very sweet. But if you want to know the tool that we've used to bring in over 20,000 new leads and five figures in passive revenue into our business, then go check it out. It's amazing. Stop sending people away to other people's websites to get their human design chart. Instead, use this tool to put it on your own website. You won't regret it. And use the code Human Design Podcast, all lowercase, all together, Human Design Podcast, to get 50% off for a year.
Hey, hey, everyone, and welcome to today's episode. I am super excited to talk about, a really challenging topic that so many of you guys listening are dealing with, working with, healing, and that's trauma, with someone who I just love to chat to because I feel like from a human design perspective, we're so similar. I'll get into that in just a moment. Nicole Frolic, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thanks, Emma, for having me. It's so good to see you again.
I know, right? I know when I was on your podcast, I just felt like, wow, we could have just talked forever. So I'm super, super excited to talk to you and dive deeper into some of the things that you do. Now, for my listeners, of course, we have to kick off. We have to let everybody know that you are a 3-5 sacral manifesting generator, cross of the Sphinx. Do you work with your human design much?
No. I mean, I know I'm the a manifesting generator. And I mean, it just makes sense when I see it in my life, like, you know, in every aspect of everything that I do. And so I make sure that I always have creative outlets to constantly be creating and manifesting and things like that. But other than that, no, I haven't. It was actually, I didn't even know anything about the Sphinx, cross of the, is it the Sphinx of the cross or the cross?
Cross of the Sphinx.
Yeah. Cross of the Sphinx. Yeah. And so I thought that was really interesting. But I'm fascinated by human design.
It's crazy. It's so good. It really does align us to, you know, our authentic selves. And I feel like that's a lot of what you do as well, just using a different modality. And I'm a massive believer in, you know, there isn't one thing. There is, you know, different things for different people. And it certainly sounds like that's a lot of the work that you do, helping people really align to their authentic truth as well. Now, I always love to start the podcast with asking my guests about what I perceive as like a dark night of the soul, or maybe it doesn't even have to be a dark night of the soul. It's that moment in your history where you went, nope, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not tolerating this anymore. No, in my case, no, I'm not accepting that diagnosis. And it sent you, in my opinion, it's like that trigger moment for your purpose to really start to kick off. It doesn't feel like it at the time because it's hard. It's really hard. But I would love to hear about that time for you and then a little bit about the journey that you've been on since then to really not only really understand your intuitive talents, but also to, of course, build this business and in turn help people to heal their trauma and align to their truth.
Which dark night of the soul would you like to hear?
Of course, my manifesting generator friend, of course.
because I got like double digits.
Yeah. My line three as well. Love it.
Well, let's see, you know, my Dark Night of the Soul, really, like the story of my Dark Night of the Soul in a sense of how many chapters there are to it, but it started when I was 20. And that sent me on a very deep healing journey when I found out from my doctor, after having one sexual partner, which I saved myself for a relationship and a guy that I was in love with, I found out I had HPV, which nowadays we know like almost everyone has that. And, but at the time, the doctor did a really great job of scaring the living daylights out of me and kept saying cancer, cervical cancer, all this stuff. And it just sent me into a tailspin of, oh my gosh, I just felt marked. I felt tarnished. I didn't understand what I had done wrong to deserve it. And I thought like I was doomed for the rest of my life. No man would ever want to be with me. And I felt like I can't even allow a man to touch me after this. And what was really interesting is that it was such a aha moment of being in total darkness and then also having instant light come into that moment. Because I remember I was in my parents' home. It was my second year of university. And so I had moved back home, and at the kitchen table, after I'd hung up the phone, no one was home, I sat at the kitchen table and I just started crying with my face in my hands going, what do I do? Like, what am I going to do? And in desperation and utter like just devastation, I had this thought appear in my mind. And it was like, remember the paper clipping that your friend gave you 6 months ago? Go get that. And it was a newspaper magazine clipping from this health food magazine of a naturopath who lived in Toronto, which was where I was living at the time. It's where I grew up. And I just knew instantly I meant to call this person. Now, it was given to me for a completely different reason. It was to take applied kinesiology course. But I knew this was why. And so I ended up calling her, and she ended up getting me into she was my first real spiritual mentor and took me on a deep healing journey of healing, the area, my feminine reproductive area, and showing me what was possible. She taught me how to use light and all these different kinds of things. And so that kind of started my journey of opening up to this idea of I didn't love myself. I had a very disconnected and very disassociated relationship with my feminine, which was why I was having reproductive issues already. I then later, 20 years later, remembered that I was sexually abused when I was 5. Mm. And that trauma came up, but only after I worked through so many other different things. And I think, you know, I've done so many things. My dark nights of the soul have taken me in a lot of different places. They've taken me into abusive relationships with an alcoholic, where I went into my first depression, really only my first depression. And what was interesting about that was it also sparked a huge spiritual awakening in me of reconnecting to that part that I seemed to disconnect from for a few years. And drove me to start opening my own business. Mm-hmm. And although I wasn't doing what I'm doing today, it got my feet wet in like starting to work for myself and starting to create for myself. And so eventually I've lived in a couple of different places. I grew up in Canada. I've lived a short time in Switzerland. I moved to the Cayman Islands and lived in the Caribbean for like 10 years. And now I'm in Denver, Colorado. And what's so interesting is that through my travels, which is actually in my Destiny's Blueprint, which we can talk about later. Through my travels, I was meant to learn through being on my own, traveling by myself, going to different cultures and hanging out and learning all about myself so that I could teach everything that I learned through my experience. And so it was really necessary for me to do that. And the Dark Night of the Soul, man, oh girl, we could go into a lot of different pockets, but I mean, from abusive relationships to absolutely realizing I didn't love myself at all. In fact, I thought I might have even hated myself, to having a most beautiful spiritual encounters of leaving my body and experiencing myself as energy and knowing what it felt like to be completely happy with myself exactly as I was, to having divine encounters in my bedroom where white light shows up and a baby appears in ethereal form. Like, I've just had so many different things. So, like, I'm sure you have talked about probably at length on your podcast, and I'm sure many of your listeners know, you can't know the best of the light until you know the worst of the dark.
Yeah, I love that. And I totally agree. You know, you're right. I'm always talking about we live in a universe of polarity. So as low as you go is the opportunity to go high, you know? Mm. And I think that in so many cases, we are so quick to try and get rid of our trauma, our shadow, these things, but we're missing the point. We need to integrate those things because they're part of who we are. And it's not, you know, we've got to move away from the good, bad, right or wrong and into this place of, you know, we're in life school. That's what we're here to do. And I just have to geek out momentarily on your human design, because being a line three, you're not designed to live conventionally. It's all about experiences. It's all about having that, you know, the original knowledge talks about trial and error. I like that it's more about experiential learning and kind of just poking everything that you see to see if it, you know, if you can break it. You know, and then line five is all about universalizing those experiences, like helping people solve problems, being the wounded healer that now helps other people with their wounds because they've healed their own. And the other thing I just love is the Sphinx. You know, you say like, which dark night of the soul, like which one do you want? And as a Sphinx, you're all about direction. You know, you're all about finding your own new direction. You're about pivoting, but you also show up in people's lives when they're about to pivot and you help them pivot in that moment where it kind of feels like they're lost and they don't know where to go and those sort of things. So it's really cool to hear you just speak your design. It's awesome.
Yeah, no. And I remember when you said that, I was like, oh yeah, that is so me. Yeah. Like yeah. To a T. So it's yeah. So cool that it's all like works out that way because it gives you context, you know, for why everything is the way it is.
I think it also, like, I think the other things that I love about it is that whatever the modality is, whenever it gives us that confirmation of what we feel, because often I feel like we feel these things going on inside of us, but we don't necessarily have the language for it. And then whatever the process we go through, whether it's, you know, traveling the world or, you know, plant medicine or human design or whatever it is, we go through these processes and all of a sudden we have language for the things that we're feeling inside of us. And that, I think, is just so incredibly powerful. So, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Excuse me. What is the destiny blueprint? Like, that sounds fun. I mean, I do really want to dive into how you help people heal trauma. So don't let me get, like, waylaid over here, a little misdirection. I'm curious. Tell me, what's that?
Well, as someone who's got the cross of the Sphinx on their design, I literally have designed a program that is to help people go through their healing, but to also uncover their purpose and what is the next direction for their life. By part of that is looking at your astrological chart. Now, I don't look at your astrological chart the way most people would look at it. There are very specific things that I have realized that are so tied into your karma, your wounding, your hidden talents, your hidden strengths and purpose, and the how do we call this? The obstacles that are on your path in order for you to get to your destiny. And so when you start to look at all these things, what I find is, one, it really helps people understand their purpose from a place of how their wounding has suppressed a lot of what they were meant to do or wanted to do. But also that I talk a lot about soul fractal identity and reclamation and learning how to heal your soul fractals, because we think about soul fractals obviously from a pain perspective.
What is it? But within what is that, a soul fractal?
A soul fractal is like a piece of you that you've disowned or dissociated because of an experience, whether it was trauma, whether it was pain, shame, blame, guilt, whatever it might have been, fear, you know, it's a part of you that you're like, when you were likely younger, you didn't have the capacity, the tools, the conscious awareness to know how to handle it, deal with it. And so what we often do is, well, let me disassociate from it because it has so much pain and that's how I can deal. So we abandon it. We reject it. We forget it even exists. Well, what happens is so much of our passion and the best parts of us are tied into those soul fractals, and we lose part of our passion and we lose some of our greatest talents when we do that. And so also, this is another really important piece. In order to go through the healing journey, and I know you know this, it requires a lot of internal power. You need to draw upon your inner resources to get through some of the really heavy and dark stuff, because you're going to confront that, some of that stuff eventually. Your power rests within all of that pain. And so what happens is we give it away because we think that there's something bad about us from that, or because we've disassociated and that's where a lot of our strength is. It makes it a lot more difficult to get through your healing journey without bringing some of those parts home. So, through soul fractal identity, reclaiming that, this astrological blueprint, we start to uncover what your purpose is and where you should be heading. And also it makes sense of the obstacles that are on your path. Instead of looking at it from a place of the victim, you start to look at it from a place of, oh, I planned this so that I would be able to be in a position to handle this thing. Oh, okay. Now it makes sense. And the ego needs context. It needs something tangible to grab onto. And that's what this does. So it helps you get your ego on board so it doesn't try to sabotage your future success.
Oh my God, I love it. I wish you had my details and you could just pinpoint a few points on my chart. All right. That sounds awesome. How did you even create it? Like, was it just going through, you know, your own experience? Was it, you know, intuitive? Like, I know you're a very intuitive person. Like, how did you even create it?
It was a combination of obviously a lot of things that I've learned on my healing journey, but the real crux of it came through, like, I want to say the final pieces that tied it all together came through an actual mushroom journey.
Yeah. Wow.
So it was funny because I just kind of started getting back into plant medicine in 2022, and I had done my very first ayahuasca journey. In that ayahuasca journey, though, I had a huge heart opening, but no visions. And I really didn't understand what had happened in that journey. So when I came back to Denver, one of my friends had been saying to me, when you're ready, I'll take you on a guided mushroom journey. And I thought, you know, I never got any of my visions. I feel kind of gypped. let me maybe have this mushroom journey now. And so within a week, literally 1 week later after my ayahuasca, I did a mushroom journey. The great thing is that I was so cleaned out, so detoxified from the ayahuasca, that I had such a profound experience on this mushroom journey. And through the mushroom journey, my intention that my friend who guided me through this helped me determine was, show me the greatest version of myself and how to actualize that now. Because I felt like I was hitting this block. Like, I was creating all this great stuff and my business was kind of growing and, you know, I was doing all the things, but I wasn't able to get that growth, that expansion. And I was like, why is it so hard? Like, what is going on here? And so I felt like I kept hitting this invisible wall that was just seemingly like always, every time I thought I was going to get a breakthrough, it never happened. And so on my mushroom journey, my friend said, okay, you're walking through a jungle. You're on a path. There's vines in your way. You have your machete in your hand. And he goes, what's the biggest vine in the way of your divine path? And instantly, I knew, like, that's how these plant medicines, you know, you just know, like, and it wasn't anything I thought of, because it shocked me when I said the answer, and it shocked my friend because we never talked about it. And they instantly said, it's my father. And the reason why this is shocking is because I've done so much healing with my father and we're in such a good place now that it just didn't even dawn on me that there was still stuff that he was somehow a part of why I wasn't able to expand in my business. And it was about like really kind of growth and becoming bigger and allowing myself to break through ceilings I'd never broken through before. So that happens. And then all of a sudden I see, so I'm in tears. I know it's my dad. Okay, fine. But now instead of like a machete, there's bulldozers on my pathway and they're showing me like the whole pathway getting bulldozed. And I'm like, oh wow, this is awesome. And then all of a sudden I see my DNA. And in my DNA, I'm seeing all of these ancestor faces from so many different generations. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And then my, I'm hearing the engines. I'm hearing engines revving. They're like, spaceship engines. This is what it sounds like, rocket ships. And I'm getting excited because I'm like, ooh, the mushrooms are going to show me how to like go to the highest heights I can possibly go. And I'm like, yes, we're ready for this. And I was getting so excited and I'm like ready for takeoff. And as soon as I felt like the rocket ship was going to take off, boom, the engines died. And I'm like, what happened? What happened? And so all of a sudden I'm like, hear the engines start again. And I'm like, okay. And then all of a sudden, as we're about to take off, the engines die. And I'm like, what? And this repeated itself, Emma, until I finally said, who keeps hitting the kill switch? And that's when my vision shifted and I was in a cave and hovering over me was this gigantic size of a building spider. And I'm like, whoa. My friend asked me, he goes, are you scared of the spider? And I said, no. The spider is trying to keep me safe. The spider is my dad. And the size of the spider really spoke to the power that my father had in my subconscious mind that I didn't realize was even there still. Like I had no idea. And I said, what I'm seeing is I see the cave, the opening of the cave, and outside is this beautiful paradise. Beautiful flowers, a white sandy beach, palm trees, turquoise ocean. All I want to do is go out there, but my dad wants me to stay here. And these legs, his 8 spider legs, felt like prison bars to me. And so what this vision showed me was how generational trauma was holding me back. It wasn't even something I had experienced. It was something my father had experienced. And it was through me kind of coming out of that journey and then journaling it and going through it and finally like working it all out that I realized, oh, my father, when he was a child, his parents were from the Ukraine. They immigrated to Canada. He was a farmer. My grandfather was a farmer. And when my dad was a small boy, his father made a really risky business investment and unfortunately lost the entire farm, rendering his whole entire family homeless. Mm. And my father was obviously devastated by that and made a vow that that would never happen to anyone else again in his family. Well, I watched my father repeat that trauma in his life, even when I was a child, but it never affected me. Like watching it never actually affected me because I just never saw it as a big deal. He went bankrupt himself in the 80s when we had the big, spike and then the recession hit in the late 80s. He had just bought a huge home, their dream home. And within a year, the recession hit. Couldn't keep up with the mortgage payments. And within a couple of years, we had to sell the house. He had to claim bankruptcy, lost money on the house, didn't even make money. And this was a theme that I kept seeing coming up in my dad's life. And so every time I was about to go bigger, either through being seen or through investing money, my dad would come in. Literally, I would hear this internal voice, but what if you lose it all? What if you lose it all? Just stay where you're comfortable. Just stay where it's safe. You've got enough. You're okay. You don't need more. And it was when I finally isolated that in 2022 I then realized this is what I need to do to grow. And I knew it was going to require a big financial investment for me, something that would make me feel really uncomfortable. And so just as I was about to make that investment, I get a phone call from my dad. It's like he knew. It was like this wow. spiritual teleline that he just knew what I was doing. He said, Nicole, I'm worried about how much money you're spending. And I'm like, what? He goes, why don't you just come back home to Canada? You know, like just open your business, like do the business here. And I'm like, Dad, no, like my opportunities are here in the States. Like I'm doing it here. And so I knew this was exactly what I needed to do. And I did it and I doubled my business in 6 months. Yeah. And then it happened again where I realized what it was and I had all of this fear coming up. I'm like, wow, this is crazy. All this fear that's coming. My body was so responsive to the point where like I was in tears. I couldn't get out of bed. And I'm like, this is crazy. And I had to talk to my body and say, this is not ours. We are clearing this and we are going for it. And it's always taking me to the place I knew I could go and was meant for me, but I had to clear that generational trauma. It wasn't even mine. Yeah. And so that really kind of was, ironically, it's the opening part of my program that I use now to get people to go even deeper into their soul fractals, because I realized without me clearing this, none of the other work was going to take me to where I wanted to go. It was not like it was not for anything, but it was so important.
Oh my goodness. I feel like I just like, that was the best story ever. I've got the goosebumps up and down my arms the whole time. And I'm fascinated because I know that for myself personally and, you know, loads of my community, we have had this similar experience where we've done the work, we've done the work, we've done the work, we've done the work. And then it appears, this same thing appears. In fact, I'm going through exactly the same thing at the moment. And I think you're absolutely right. I think the challenge is at the moment is like, how do we clear the spider? How do we find our spider and then clear that spider? Obviously I use so many different modalities. I'm even working with a hypnotherapist at the moment, which is just mind blowing. So how have you kind of pinpointed this process? Like what's the process in your experience to actually identify the trauma? Let's talk about identifying the trauma first. Like we can't fix anything we don't know, is there?
Mm-mm. No. So what I have people do is you've got to look at your path of dreams, right? So you've got to look at all the things that you've ever dreamed of, desired, wanted, and nothing can come off the table. You know, even if you don't think it matters, in fact, usually it's the stuff you don't think that matters is some of the most crucial stuff you need to look at. And then once you look at your path of dreams, we then look at your kill switch. And you identify this by looking at all of the different time opportunities and challenging obstacles that you faced and the choices that you've made, the voices that you've heard. And, you know, we isolate what your kill switch is. Through isolating the kill switch, you then are in a position to see who your guardian of the gate is. Now, the guardian of the gate, what a lot of people, I call it the guardian of the gate. This is how it was shown to me in my journey. And so, I use all of these terminologies in my program, but you know, through epigenetics, we know that generational trauma is passed down through our DNA as a chemical mark on the actual gene that affects its gene expression. Well, I was shown how to remove the chemical mark once you know what the generational trauma is and you know what who the guardian of the gate is. Now, you don't actually have to know the exact ancestor. All you need to know is the behavior and the voice that you hear, because the voice, as you know, sound is the origination of all creation, and sound, this voice is a belief. A belief creates frequency. As soon as we know what that voice is, now we can clear this chemical mark. And I've done I created very shamanic healing ceremonies for my clients on how we remove that spiritual, or that chemical, it's a spiritual mark and it's a chemical mark from your DNA through this really interesting healing process. And I've had clients who've literally had shifts within their business, within their physical body, within days, like hours after doing this. It's phenomenal. Wow. And so really kind of isolating it, you start with your path of dreams.
Yeah, right. So how do we know what our path of dreams is?
Well, I have a lot of questions that I ask people to kind of look in and reflect on, and kind of, you know, part of it goes, but you have to be able to do some inner child work, know what was it that you really loved doing when you were a kid. And so isolating some of that, but then also kind of really looking, where did certain talents or gifts or desires get shut down? Like through different traumas. And a lot of times we don't even realize it, but school is really traumatic for people. Yeah. I mean, just the stuff that I'm hearing from some of my clients in the current group that I'm taking them through this program, like, I'm like, wow, these teachers were awful. Like, they were really cruel in how they spoke to these children, literally children, and shaming them and guilting them out of like just their own process of creation or their own intelligence. And that really is a big factor in understanding what you're destined for.
Yeah. My own personal experience, I was diagnosed with dyslexia, and in those days we called them remedial teachers, and the remedial teacher that worked with me, like, he has been so prominent in so much of my healing, because the same deal, he would get frustrated at me and I'm like, dude, this is not making it better, it's just making it worse. I can see so many patterns that were created because of this human, and I get that he was doing the best he could and all of those things, but it's fascinating because as kids we make things mean. You know, we like, as parents, we can't control what our kids make things mean. Like, we can do all the things to try and raise them in the most loving and environment, but at the end of the day, they're going to make things mean not great things about themselves. And I think that that's the biggest challenge, you know, because what I wanted to share with you was, as you were talking, I was like, I had to have a quick look where certain gates sat. And you've got the 2 in your personality sun and the 1 in your personality earth. So effectively in your sun, which is like these are the 2 most prominent energies in your chart. And on the personality side, they're the ones that you're most aware of. Okay. They're most conscious of. And you've got the feminine that sits in your sun, and you've got the masculine that sits in your evolution or your earth. And what's crazy, exactly right. And what's crazy is we talk about in the gene keys, we talk about between the sun and the earth is the pathway of challenge. So every single challenge in your life is going to be between shining bright or completely disappearing into nothing, and the resources piece. So either being able to receive everything or nothing. And like with these energies, when they learn to dance together, which is what it sounds like, you know, a lot of the challenges that you've been through, it's like finding the balance between and how these energies work together. Like that's the most prominent energy for you. So underneath every challenge is the dance between the masculine and the feminine.
Oh my gosh. I mean, that has literally been the story of my entire life. It's just, from the beginning, from the very, very beginning.
Mm-hmm. And you know what's crazy? So we also say in human design that our design sun is our father, like it's something that we get from our father. And I think it's interesting because you've got the line 5 in there. So it's all about power. So whenever we see the 5, this is yet solutions based. It can be a little bit superhero-y. But there's often this dynamic, the power dynamic, like how that shifts. But you've also got the gate 13. And the gate 13 is, it's all about listening. It's all about like just listening, being still. And even more than that, it's this relearning. It's almost like in the shadow, it's forgetting. It's like, I forget who I am, and instead I will take on who I should be. And to have that, so what you just said about your dad, it's like your dad's just playing out. He's not listening to his own intuition. He's not listening to his own guidance. He's like, no, this is who I need to be. And the fact that that's sitting there in such a prominent part of your chart, and that's been a lot of your journey, like, oh, I need to, you know, unconsciously stop listening to my conditioning and really start listening to my own internal guidance system. You know, like, again, you can't make this stuff up. It's just.
No. And you know what? It's in my destiny's blueprint too, that I had to clear karma with my father in order to get to where, my highest purpose was. And it's really interesting because I just, this life is so interesting. Just when you think you've got it figured out, something comes in to say, but what about this? And what about that? And you're like, oh, wow, there's so much to learn. There's so much to learn. But yeah, like, you know, listening has been really key for me in, I'm sure you experience this a lot with your clients, that when I'm listening to someone, I'm not really listening to what they're saying. I'm listening to what they're not saying.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of wisdom in what is unsaid.
Yeah.
And so I found that in the silence, as always, in the silence, there is so much. There is truly so much. And it kind of really takes us to the idea of the cosmic womb and the darkness and the emptiness of that vessel. And so when we do listen, the silence, the pauses, there's so much wisdom and information waiting there for us. I mean, I was on a mushroom journey last year that I, you know, I usually will do them once a month for myself. I haven't done one in a few months, but it started to open up my, not just my third eye, but my physical eyes. Like I actually was starting to be able to see the field in my, like around me. And it was showing me all what looks like empty space is actually filled with all of these hieroglyphs and symbols and
wow.
written things and lights and just, it's incredible what's actually around us. And I was fascinated, and it was as if, a portal had opened and all of this information was just fed into my field, and I was reading it. I was interpreting it through just being there, like just being in it.
Yeah.
So it's wild. It's wild what is available to us. So that makes a lot of sense when you say the gate 13.
Yeah. It's crazy, isn't it? I love what you were saying, because I've been having I don't want to say weird, but these experiences, like I'm always curious, because especially because now we know that the dimensions, we always thought that the dimensions of reality went this way, you know, and for those that can't see me, you know, we're in a lower dimension, and then there's one above us, and then there's one above us and one above us. But now we know that they're not, they're vertical, not horizontal. So they're just there all the time. And like, it's a rabbit hole that I'm going down massively at the moment, and really understanding, you know, like exactly what you said, like there is so much just going on in all of what we perceive as empty space. And recently I'll just catch out of the corner of my eye, like I can see someone's aura, like just move, or, you know, something like extra. And anyway, I was on the meditation retreat this last weekend, and I'm sitting in this place, and the meditation teacher is like, he's epic, you know, like he's been doing it for a really long time. I feel like he's taught half the world, like he's one of these meditation teachers that the celebrities talk about. But he's just really like an Aussie version of the, you know, the little monk in his little orange outfit. Not that he wears orange, but you know what I mean. And I'm sitting in this dome, and he's talking about, like, we're not even into the meditation yet. And I'm like witnessing almost like everything pixelated. So I can just sort of make out his face, but then everything else everywhere else is kind of pixelated. There's all these different levels, and my mind, my ego is trying to hold on to it and make sense of it as he's literally sitting there saying, you know, whenever anything comes up in your mind, don't care, not interested. You know, you just got to let it go. You just got to be with the moment. And it was just like that moment for me was like, God, I just want to access more of it. I want to access more of these dimensions, the, you know, more intuition. I feel like with my intuition, it's almost so innate that there's this part of me that's like, no, I just want to, can you just like stand over here so I can look at you, you know, so I can actually work this stuff out. And I know that your gifts are very intuitive. So what are they like for you? Like, is it really tangible for you? Like, yes, on a mushroom journey, like maybe it becomes more tangible. Tell me about your relationship with your intuition and how you've built the muscle where it's becoming very, you know, real in the 3D world, even though we know that that's in the 5D world, but it feels like it's the 3D.
Yeah, no, it's something I had to push the envelope on. I had to get really uncomfortable with actually showcasing it when I wasn't even sure if what I was getting was true, you know, like is, and that's the most common thing that everyone needs to understand when it comes to developing your intuition. It doesn't matter how psychic the person is. Everyone goes through some level of self-doubt, uncertainty, questioning. And what I noticed was my intuition really started to skyrocket when I started going deep into my inner child healing. And so what I realized was, one, as we all know, children are extremely intuitive. And so when we bring that part of us back home and we start integrating through all the healing, we are actually accessing now, the inner child actually acts like a portal to a lot more of our intuition. But what I was also shown, one of the other ways that I've been able to deepen my intuition was, by dropping into my womb space. And again, very masculine growing up. And it wasn't until I started to heal my relationship with my feminine and I had to do a lot of healing on my reproductive area. I had so many issues with the reproductive area, literally reversed black, almost black like cancer cells to nothing, like gone within less than a year. And through, I was shown drop your energy from your pineal gland through your heart into the womb and then surrender and let yourself imagine yourself, like a small little mini version of yourself floating in your own womb space in the, what I like to call the eternal waters of the womb. Okay. And practice being held in your own intuitive waters. And when I did this and I fully just let go and understood what it felt like to be held by the universe, essentially, there was a portal in my womb that opened up like a planetarium into the entire galaxy, into the entire universe. Wow. It was like I was in some planetarium looking up and I could now see all of the stars and anything I wanted access to. All I had to do was ask the question and boom, I got the answer. Wow. And I had all these incredible guides show up. I had this beautiful 14-foot feline being. Her name is Niet, N-E-apostrophe-E-T. And she showed up on this platform of like an ancient structure that was floating in the universe, kind of half tumbled. Like it was like, looked like it was broken down and old. And she was standing there and I was standing there with her. And I looked into her eyes and they were white, pure, pure white. But as soon as she started communicating with me telepathically, she was showing me like a movie over her eyes. And I was getting all of these downloads of information. And it was to teach people how to use your goddess codes and frequencies to open up your own intuition through the womb space. And so I think, you know, we think obviously intuition is a very feminine energy. And so really tuning in and embracing your own feminine energy. I would say if you're someone, if anyone in the audience, if you're struggling, I would say check in with your relationship with your own feminine energy. How does it feel for you to be a woman in this world? Do you honor it? Do you have a very, dysfunctional relationship with your own feminine energy? Because if it's hard for you to be softer, to lean in, to be supported, to receive help, to ask for help, all the things that are very feminine to allow yourself to be creative, then it's more difficult to be in touch with your own intuition.
I would say that this speaks to a lot of our audience because I know it's definitely been my journey. Moving from this, okay, well, and again, Gary even talked about it on the weekend. He's like, don't be a New York meditator. You need to be a hippie meditator. You need to be just letting it go, like not trying too hard. And I feel like that's so important for our intuition. And I do believe that there's so many of us out there who, especially listening to this podcast, where, you know, they're hustling, they're working hard to get their businesses going or to, you know, align to their authentic truth, to actually be their purpose, to raise amazing humans, you know, raise their kids and be the best parents they can be. And so much of it, even the nurturing our kids, like it's like so many of us don't have the masculine in our life that can support us to be fully in that. So it's almost like we're constantly one foot in and one foot out. And I feel like that's the place where, as you say, it's the hardest to really align to our intuition, our divine feminine, and yeah, receive. Because I feel like so many of us are just not that good at receiving, because we're kind of like, oh, don't worry, I'll do it myself.
And it's so important. You can't really increase your own intuition because you are literally a receiver of the transmission. And so if you don't open up your own receptivity, you have to really know how to expand on the reception like the receptivity principle is what I call it. So, yeah. And I think like one of the things that, you know, there's that common exercise that people do at retreats and corporate stuff, you know, like where you have to trust someone to fall like a tree, you know, and you've got to catch them. Well, that's what I was shown to do literally in my own womb space, but you're being held by literally your own waters, but also the cosmic waters. And so what does it mean? And this is a real test of our own faith, is do we really believe we're supported at the end of the day? Do we really believe that we're being held? And if you're not in tune with your own feminine energy, or you have blocks or healing to do there, it can be really difficult to move into that space.
Yeah, I actually think that that is such an important question for all women. Like, do you really believe that you can be held and supported? Again, recently in my experience, my husband and I actually separated late last year, and that's what I've been working on, because it came to light. Even though I'm hugely intuitive, I feel very supported, all of these things, there was still this big gaping hole that had always been there, that actually I didn't trust the universe to support me. I was constantly taking my faith back off the shelf, you know, putting it back in my body and like, I'll do it myself. And I feel there's so many of us out there now that are doing that, you know, and real surrender, real trust in something greater than us means that we stop abandoning ourselves. And I think that was the biggest piece for me to understand, that in so many areas of my life, I'd abandoned myself because I didn't trust that the universe was going to come in and support me. I didn't trust that someone else was going to come in and support me. And, you know, I've been building this muscle and you know, my business is thriving. And one of the fundamental reasons my business is thriving is because it's the place where I have learned to trust my team, to trust the people, to trust the, you know, even the practitioners or consultants or coaches that come to me. Like, I've just learned to trust. Like, I don't question it. I follow my strategy and authority and I go ahead, and everything in that environment is thriving. So I feel like as women, we can sometimes almost like trust to a degree in certain areas of our life, but it's that the big universal piece, like, you need to take a step back. Do you fully trust the universe has your back? Because it's a statement we throw around all the time, but do we actually believe it?
You know, one of my greatest realizations last year around the fall was right after my retreat that I held. I realized that by allowing others to help me, I am only going to be stronger. I am actually so much more powerful when I actually let other people help me. And that is a really difficult concept to even wrap your head around, let alone integrate into your life, when you're so used to doing everything on your own. And when so many times in your life, every time you tried to lean on someone, they let you down, they didn't show up, they disappointed you, right? And so it's been an interesting journey of learning who to trust and who I know has my back, and I can then lean into, because not everyone is going to. But it's about understanding, you know, when you're really ready, the right people start to show up, and then it's your choice to allow them to do that too for you.
And yeah. I think it's that boundary, right? It's like having that boundary that says, wow, I've now become conscious of the fact that I call in people that let me down because I don't trust the universe. Like the higher level belief isn't there. And then choosing different behavior. And I actually just saw you talk about this on your Instagram. I was having a quick look at your Instagram And honestly, I love a Canadian accent, so I can just sit there and listen to you all day. Like I literally, in my early 20s, I hooked up with a guy. I was in Ibiza and I just would follow this guy around. Didn't really like him that much, but I just wanted to listen to him talk the whole time.
Stop.
You know, I just love your accent. But the thing that I was going to say, one of the recent reels that you put up, you were talking about relationships and you were saying you have to get used to choosing the uncomfortable because your heart and soul wants one thing, but your, I don't know if this is your words, your ego, your mind, what I would call your conditioning, what you're used to wants something else. So do you want to talk a little bit to that? Because I think it's incredibly powerful, especially in the relationship space, because we think with relationships, it's all like sunshines and rainbows and fireworks and all of these things. However, you know, what I took from that and what I'm very aware of at the moment is that we have to be very conscious about the choices we make in these areas instead of just leaving it up to, you know, from a human design, like our electromagnetics, or leaving it up to our conditioned self, or leaving it up to our dysfunction to make these decisions. So do you want to talk a little bit to that?
Yeah, that came from realizing, like, obviously that's from my own journey of dating and realizing, why do I keep attracting the same situation over and over and over again? And I kept thinking, well, no, I know what my type is. I know what I want and everything. And then I started to realize that, oh, my type might not be my conscious choice. It might be the little girl inside who is looking for what she's familiar with. So what I say on that reel is learn to date the unfamiliar. And so what I found myself having to try, and it's not that it always works, because just because they're unfamiliar doesn't mean that they're going to be a match for you. But it certainly, what it does is I realized I had to try dating guys that didn't feel familiar to me. And when I say that, I mean, we all have an internal reaction. And sometimes we interpret it as chemistry, right? We interpret it as like, oh, like we've got this soul connection. You know, I know this person. They feel like home. Well, that might be a good thing, but it might be a trauma response. Yeah. In a sense of everything that you're used to is saying, oh yeah, I know this. This is home for me. This is what I'm comfortable with. Like, this is what I know. And I realized that I had my body would react to men through an attraction to guys who were literally unavailable physically, like they just didn't have the time, or they were emotionally unavailable. And it was because my dad, who was a great father, you know, but he was the breadwinner and he had to support 4 kids and his stay-at-home wife. And so he would often leave the house by 7 a.m. before I was up or getting ready for school. And then he wouldn't come home sometimes till 8 or 9 and sometimes midnight if he had a hockey game after his work. So whenever my father would come home, my brother and my 2 sisters and I, we would hear the garage door start to open. And we would all look at each other and one of us would scream, "Dad's home." And we would rush to the mudroom door to be the first person to greet him and give him a hug. And I realized that conditioning made me okay in accepting guys who would breadcrumb me.
Yeah.
Like that was love to me. Well, that's just what that, and obviously my conscious mind knows better. Like that's not what I want. But deep down on a subconscious level, and the little girl inside of me was like, no, that's dad. Like,
yeah.
And so I would attract guys like that all the time. And I'm like, I got to stop dating the familiar and start trying the unfamiliar. And I tell you, it worked. And it's funny because I remember the first time this worked, I was on a date with a guy. And as soon as I sat down with him, within my first thing was like, in 15 minutes, I'm like, yeah, no, this isn't going to be a connection, but he seems interesting. I'll make the most of the date. Well, by the end of the date, you know, he gave me a quick kiss on the lips and he's like, I'd love to see you again. And I thought, you know, the conversation was really good. I'd go out with him again. You know, why not? I mean, something's got to shift. And every date that we went on got better and better and better, and it grew into something. And I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't know this was possible. I always thought it had to be there right from the beginning. I thought it was like, you know, the way the fairy tale stuff. And that was a huge eye opener for me. And that's when I realized, don't date the familiar.
Yeah. Oh my God. I love that story. And I feel like it's a very powerful story for everyone listening that, you know, might be in the same situation. You know, from a human design perspective, one of the things that we know in our charts is we have these things called electromagnetic. So you have one half of a channel and someone else has the other, which we can often experience as that fireworks when we first meet someone. The important thing to understand is that these are two opposites coming together. So it's the thing that actually you fell in love with becomes the thing that irritates you, you know? So, you know, human design is a really powerful way that we can be like, okay, this feels good. And there, you know, there has to be something else. So, or, you know, and I need to just go on the journey, like you said, and see what comes of this. I think that is just so powerful because, again, it's breaking that freaking patriarchal story that little girls have always been told that, you know, just wait around until your prince arrives and then boom, everything is magical. No, let's not do that. Let's consciously choose to go out in the world and do something different than we've done before so that we can have something better than we've had before. So I love that. So good.
Yeah, it works. And I think it's just really important because a lot of people get this confused. They're like, so I'm not supposed to be attracted to my person? It's like, no, like, first of all, this guy was attractive. He was a good looking guy, but I didn't feel like he was my type.
Yeah.
You know, like you can objectively look at someone and like, yeah, they're a good looking person, but they're not my type. They're not who I would go for. And so I just instantly dismissed him, you know, until we actually hung out. And then I was like, oh, whoa, there's a lot of chemistry here. Yeah. And I was like, whoa, I almost missed out on this. And I'm like, that's when I realized I maybe don't have the best picker up front, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I love that. And it makes me think of, if anyone is like curious about this and the chemistry that goes on in our biology, you have to check out Bruce Lipton's Honeymoon Effect. He talks all about this. It's so cool. Mm,
I love Bruce Lipton.
Oh my God, I love him. He's coming up on the podcast soon. I'm about to, I am like totally fangirling. I'm so excited about
it. Oh my God, that's so fun.
Yeah. Now, I'm super aware of the time. I'm going to have to actually let you go.
Yeah.
Before you do go, I'd love you just to let people know how maybe they can find you and experience your work. I know you've got a masterclass at the moment that's really helping people to release generational trauma. Do you want to talk a little bit to that and how people can find you out there in the world?
Yeah, I've got a free masterclass coming up on how to heal your generational trauma, where I take you through three different things on how to heal it. And one of them was like, I'll go into more detail, but talk about the guardian of the gate. But then I'm also going to be opening, and that's on March 6th. And I think my team left you the link for that. So anyone who's interested in coming, that is free, and you're going to get some handouts. You're going to get all bunch of stuff that are the tools that you can use right away. I'm also going to be launching in March my new cycle of this actual program, where I take you through an 8-week group coaching program on taking you through isolating who your guardian of the gate is, doing all of that stuff. If you really want to go deep, and you get your destiny's blueprint when you go through that. So it's really fun. And then, that's happening in March. And then also, I have a retreat in April, on April 24th. If any of your listeners happen to be somewhat close to Colorado and you feel like coming for the Forbidden Journey retreat, it's a 3-night, experience where we do cacao ceremonies. There's even a mushroom journey if you're into that. And we had such huge transformational, miraculous healing results. Like literally someone's hearing got restored, after 19 years of loss. Someone had their vision, substantially improved, where their eye doctor couldn't believe it. Like there was ancestors showed up. We just had incredible healing. So if anyone's interested in coming to that, we're hosting that on April 24th in Breckenridge, Colorado.
Wow, that sounds super exciting. And I have to ask you, like, where the retreat center, what is that like? We've been looking for a retreat center for since last year in Colorado, in actually the US, and we have not been able to find anything.
So I use an Airbnb home, and it's the perfect spot for a retreat. It's intimate. My retreats are intimate, like no more than 10 guests. But that's because I don't want to guide people through ceremonies. I really want them to get the one-on-one attention. Yeah. But if there is another spot I might know about that I can talk to you about, I might have another spot. Yeah.
Sounds amazing. Mm-hmm. Well, Nicole, so, so good to chat to you. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me, Emma. I love talking to you. It's just so easy. It feels like we've definitely come from the same star somewhere.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I feel like I could dive into that experience of yours so much. I want to know all of it. But thank you so much for being here with me. Thank you, everyone who has been listening. I trust that you got what you needed from today's episode. And I so look forward to having you on the next one. Bye for now. Thanks everyone for being here all the way to the end of the podcast. I hope you got lots of value out of it. I certainly had a lot of fun doing it. Could I please ask that you share this podcast with friends if you found it valuable? And also, bonus points, could you leave a review for me as well on Apple? It would be greatly appreciated. If at any point you would like to be on the podcast or you've got questions that you'd like me to discuss on the podcast, by all means, get on my socials and DM me. Everything you need is there in the show notes. Have an awesome day. Bye for now.